understand what we saw, the bigger picture of Parsha Chayesara showed us that at least the juxtaposition in the Parsha, and the slicing of the Parshiyot, of the death of Sarah, and the story of the Shidduch of her son Yitzchak, which we originally, at first initially, we were surprised that it was sliced as such, but the more we looked into it, the more we saw that it's clearly, from many different directions, deeply related, not in a way that we've defined yet anything. On the one hand, we saw that it was actually the supposable detachment, in her, at least in her mind, of Sarah from her son, which brings about her death, which then leads into the story of the Shidduch of Yitzchak, where only in the context of finding his wife Rivka, completion of that Shidduch story, does he actually get to be Menucham, find Nechama, consolement for his loss of his mother. And as we saw yesterday, by bringing Rivka, and only when Yitzchak gets to bring Rivka into the tent of Sarah, as the Psukim themselves point out, only then is he be mitnachem vayevi'eha Yitzchak ha'oela sarayimo ve'ikachet Rivka v'tehilo lo yisha ve'yaveha. And then, and only then, the end of this whole paragraph is vayinachem Yitzchak acharei imo. From the relationship between Yitzchak and his mother works both ways. Her death is as a result of the akeda that he went through, and the shidduch that Yitzchak finds is after, as a result of the ptira of his mother, and then the completion of his ability to accept her death is only when he actually brings Rivka into his home. And that's what we were trying to understand. To do that, we went into the earlier origins, the earliest expression of a shidduch in the Torah, and that was the first shidduch between Adam and his wife, who was given to him after having to go through and select through the entire animal kingdom, finding out that none of them can actually be a true, honest, real mate for Adam Rishon until that Tzela was taken out of his very being, out of his very body, formed into a woman. And that's when he says, Zot ha'pam etza na'atzamayu basar v'bsari. But then the psukim go out and emphasize, Al ken ya'azov ish et aviv et imo, v'davak b'ishto v'yu l'basar echad. The bond of a person, the complete bond, davak b'ishto, that a person can actually reach with his wife, is contingent upon his detachment from his aviv v'imo. And clearly, what we're finding over here between Yitzchak and his mother Sarah is just the acting out.
Is there standing room next to you? One person?
Yeah, there's room
next to you. Sam, right?
Yeah.
I'll emphasize again that had this building been designed that the doors into shiur rooms were in the back, I wouldn't mind so much that people come late. But the fact that it's not the case, it's extremely disruptive. Just leave it to the kind of focus of shiur, definitely to my focus. So please try to, even if you come late, don't come too late. Clearly, we said the shidduch between Yitzchak and his wife, which is resolving his relationship with his mother, is the acting out after Gan Eden, the story of Adam and his wife, the way they are described as Al ken ya'azov ish et aviv et imo v'devak v'ishto v'yu l'basar echad. The question we finished off with yesterday was the attempt to understand what is it about Yitzchak specifically, the dafka in him, something about the essence of Yitzchak, the identity of Yitzchak, the dafka by him, the shidduch has to come about in such a manner. We don't find ever such a prerequisite that a person's mother has to die in order for him to be able to go get married. And somehow by Yitzchak, the fact that it happens, so obviously it's built into his growth process that it has to go through such a process. Why? What is it about Yitzchak that it necessitates happening as such? Okay,
This is where we got to, and I'd like to take everything into, I would hope, is the deeper crux of it. To do that, though, I'm going to be borrowing some concepts from the other series of shiurim which I give, and that is the cycle of the year shiurim, which is actually we'll be giving this evening. It just so happened, those of you who come to both, I don't know how many that is, but those of you who come to both, please bear in mind, keep in mind the inyanim that we're going to be talking about now, and connect it in your mind to the issues that we're going to be speaking about at 6 o'clock. It just so happened, joined together into one day, that the inyanim completely are connected, and one pours content into the other. But to bring out the concepts, at least for this year, I need to borrow inyanim from the cycle of the year shiurim, and we'll do it as such. Speaking of, and that's our topic of discussion, shiduch, relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and applying it to the to time or to the Jewish year. What time in the Jewish year, in the Jewish calendar, is of inyanim, its essence is about bond, love, specifically shiduchim between a man and a woman? Barry?
Tu B'Av.
Tu B'Av, possibly the date in the calendar, in the Jewish calendar, that in the Israeli calendar of today, in the secular calendar today, maybe has been cheapened and been destroyed more than any other date, making it into the closest to Woodstock style of a day in near the Kinneret, the Day of Love. But Tu B'Av, by its real essence, is what we're going to be trying to talk about right now. The truth of the matter is, what Barry says is correct, but not complete. Why is that not complete? Eliezer?
There's also Yom Kippur.
Very good. Besides Tu B'Av, there's also Yom Kippur. We're talking about the last Mishnah and Masechet Ta'anit. The last Mishnah and Masechet Ta'anit, the inyanim, by the way, that we're going into now, are very, very, very deep, very, very, very fundamental. It's very, very, very kedai to focus very, very carefully. I hope I'll have the clarity to bring out the concepts. Last Mishnah, Masechet Ta'anit, Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael ketetvav be'av kiyom haKippurim shebahem benot Yerushalayim yotzot v'cholot bakramim. And the Mishnah goes on. In short, what it says is that there were no happier days, greater days for the Jewish people than Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippurim. These two dates shared the same theme, where the girls of Yerushalayim would go out and dance in white, and the boys or men would be there, and they would choose and select their shiduchim. And the Mishnah goes on to say how the women would say out different statements and quote different psukim to direct the guys as to what they should focus on. Don't focus on external beauty, focus on yichus, or focus on midot, isha yirat Hashem hititala, the famous pasuk, which completes Eshet Chayil, put it over there. And the Mishnah goes and brings it to its closure, the actual psukim from the Torah, to back up these two dates of being of such essence. So, now, I may have spoken about it on Rosh Hashanah Rabba night, for those of you who might have been there. Tu B'Av, Yom Kippurim. One day is much more mysterious, not clear what it's about. The Gemara itself is not so clear at first what it's about. It has to go through a whole sugya, which we'll touch some of the aspects of later on. Yom Kippurim we're more familiar with. Now, it's strange for anybody who's aware of the way the Jewish calendar works. We have every date, every day, every chag has its unique theme, which it doesn't share with other days. Purim is not Chanukah, and Chanukah is not Purim, and Sukkot is not Pesach. Each one has... They come together to a whole pattern of a year as a whole, of course, but each one has its unique identity. We don't find such a thing, I'm sorry, we have two different dates in the year that share the same conduct as an expression of the same theme. And here we do find that. There's something about both Tu B'Av and Yom Kippurim that the girls in Yerushalayim would do the same thing, and clearly they share the same theme of Shiduchim. How could that be? Either one day is about that, or the other day is about that. Unless, I'm going to develop it, unless, really, talking about Shiduchim is not associated with one date, rather it is really a developing process that starts off in Tu B'Av and completes itself on Yom Kippurim. And then, Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael ketu B'Av v'yom kippurim, שבהם בנות ירושלים יוצאות וחלות בקרמים, ט"ו באב and יום הכיפורים, a beginning and an end of one process. Starting over here and ending out over there. And if it is true, so then underlying all of the progression from Tisha B'Av, going through Elul with all that it's about, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, and leading up to Yom Kippur, behind the scene, there is some kind of a theme that has to do with a shidduch, with love that's being developed, that has to be examined. Let's do that. 1 second. Now, on what level should we take that? Speaking about a time where its orientation in the year is that of Shiduchim. A very meaningful, if not the most intense and most meaningful time of the year. Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, building up to Yom Kippur. So we'll say that such. Everything we're talking about today could be elaborated tremendously. I'm trying to put everything as possible in a nutshell and as concise as can be. To bring out the points which are relevant to our parsha, which we'll get to in like 10 minutes or so. We find in our sources, the fact that we clearly relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether as the Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or any individual Jew in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a parent, what would be expressions of the fact that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a parent?
Avinu
Shebashamayim. What? Avinu Shebashamayim, or Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Avar Achaman. Many places. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, again and again in the Chumash, and in the Nevi'im, talks about Klal Yisrael as his son. Bnei Bechori Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says where? What? Bnei Bechori Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Klal Yisrael as his Bechor, as his firstborn son. It's the opening statement for Yetziat Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Many sources, sometimes it's like a father to a son, sometimes it's like a mother to a son, but putting it into one as a parent. There are, though, other sources that we find that the way Klal Yisrael relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not as of a parent, but rather as what other type of relationship do we have towards Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Rav v'Talmid.
What?
Rav v'Talmid.
Rav v'Talmid?
Or Bakruvim.
What? Who? Bakruvim and Rav v'Talmid?
No, it wasn't
Like a Rav and a Talmid? Fan sources talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael as a Rav and a Talmid. Let's think about that one. Ish v'isha? If you're bringing, mentioning the Kruvim, definitely. The Kruvim, which are at the very center of Kodesh HaKodashim, at the core point that the whole world revolves around, not so far away from here, in Kodesh HaKodashim, first in the Mishkan, ultimately in Beit HaMikdash. I mentioned this Gemara already, I think, here before. I mentioned it again. It's the most astonishing Gemara. That the Gemara talks about that when the Romans went into Kodesh HaKodashim, they found the two Kruvim bound together, like a male and a female, hugging each other. This is a Gemara in Yuma. Gemara Masechet Baba Batra talks about the fact that when Klal Yisrael would do the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Kruvim would be facing face to face. And when Klal Yisrael would not do the Ratzon of Hashem, they would go off the Derech in the days of Beit HaMikdash, the Kruvim would be looking apart from each other and they wouldn't be facing face to face. But when the Romans go in the night of Tisha B'Av, they find the two Kruvim bound together like a man and a woman. The Kodesh HaKodashim, the holiest place, the most intimate place for Klal Yisrael, was a very famous place. The most hidden place that nobody can go into. So when the Romans at last blast into it, and they find what they find, they go out, the Gemara says, and they mock the Jewish people by digging out into Reshut HaRabim. Look, this is what the Jews worship in the center, in the holiest of their sites, in Kodesh HaKodashim. I mentioned it already here, and I'll mention it again. One of the Balei Chassidut was then asked, it appears in the B'nai Yisrael. One of the Balei Chassidut was asked, one of the great Admorim was asked, how can it be that on the night of Tisha B'Av, where Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu are going apart from each other, are the farthest point, the lowest point for Klal Yisrael, at the moment of destruction, that the Kruvim should be actually bound together? And he answered that it's an expression of the halacha that a husband has a chiyuv to be with his wife just the night before he goes out on a journey. Because the departure itself evokes the deepest sense of bond between the two. And Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the night of Tisha B'Av, go out and depart for thousands of years. Because there's a lot in the relationship that has to be worked on Klal Yisrael's part. Go out, fix yourself, and come back when you're ready, basically, which is the underlying theme of Golus. But the departure itself evokes the deepest sense of bond and connection that brings about, ultimately, as Midrashim say, the birth of Mashiach on the night of Tisha B'Av, from that connection. Anyways, I just brought that as an expression to what Yaakov said, and that is, we find that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Klal Yisrael, or as individual in Klal Yisrael, as a parent. We also find that we relate to it as a spouse, as a husband to a wife. We have an entire book in Tanakh which revolves around that concept, and that is the book of Shir HaShirim. Another, if there's one piece in Tanakh that's been more cheapened than any other piece in Tanakh, it's Shir HaShirim. The famous words of Rabbi Akiva, Kol HaShirim Kodesh, all the songs in the Tanakh, Song of HaZinu, the Shirat HaYam, or Kodesh, and Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodeshim. Shir HaShirim corresponds to Kodesh HaKodeshim, where we find, in fact, the Kruvim are like a husband and a wife. That's the whole relationship between the Dod and the Raya. All sources in Chazal and all the Mefarshim talk about it. It's a mashal, Shir HaShirim, for the relationship between a Klal Yisrael and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So if, in fact, we find, back here, that underlying theme from Tu B'Av to Yom HaKippurim, coming from Tisha B'Av and trying to mend the problematic relationship, is about, in fact, something to do with Shiduchim, one would suspect that talking about on the level of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's an attempt to come together, the relationship that was departed, or a relationship which was not yet at a correct spouse-like husband-wife relationship, that is mended, or that is developed, and that is built every single year as we're traveling from Tu B'Av onto Yom HaKippurim, and Yom HaKippurim that's completed as we go into Kodesh HaKodashim, the place of the Kruvim again. Yes, Nathan.
How do you say that the Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av share the same theme?
I don't. The Mishnah does.
But they just say they're both on the days of happiness, but not.
No, the Mishnah says there were no greater days than for Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, and then on both of them, the girls of Yerushalayim would go out and dance and wipe.
But they're different days.
They share the same conduct. We don't find such a thing that we have. That's what I was emphasizing.
But Tu B'Av Anachot Samim.
What?
Samim Kol Hayom.
Lo Mishnah, but there is a Mishnah presents two days as sharing the same theme. Doesn't matter that you can find differences between them, but there is a theme over here which they share the same. And that whatever the Mishnah is bringing out is expressed in two different dates. I would not have any problem if it would be one date. Avi, what did you want to say?
I just didn't properly understand what Shiduch exactly is.
Yeah. What Yitzchak is going through with Rivka over here.
So, you can't even touch your wife, you can't,
fine, that's something that we have to understand.
It's a good day to have Shiduch with a girl.
Wait, let's see, let's continue. Now, at the very midst of the progression from Tu B'Av to Yom HaKippurim, we have a very significant date. And that is Rosh Hashanah. Now, I mentioned it already before, a Medrash Birkei Der Rav Elazar, that the day that Sarah heard that Yitzchak went through an Akedah, she wept. Just like a shofar, says the Medrash, and she passed away. V'yatzah nishmata. She cried like a shofar, and she dropped dead. Meaning, there's something about the blowing of a shofar, which somehow is related to the screaming out of a mother over her son. In fact, the haftar for Rosh Hashanah. That's what we're talking about, another mother that cries over her sons. Wait, I get to that yet. Very good. I'm talking about the Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah. Which mother is crying over the sons? We're going out to exile. Rachel. She's Mevakah al Baneha. The mitzvah of the day of Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the shofar itself, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, we actually learn the actual tkiot, what they actually consist of. We all derive from Sam? From the mother of Sisera. Because the Gemara says that we refer to Rosh Hashanah as Yom Teruah, and the Targum, and this is all a quote of the Gemara, towards the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. And the Targum is Metargum Yom Teruah as Yom Yevavah. Yom Yevavah is a day of a cry. The Gemara says we're not sure exactly what type of cry, so that's why we have Shvarim and Teruah. But the whole source is based on, says the Gemara, when the mother of Sisera is crying over her son that's not coming home, in the Song of Devorah, because she doesn't know yet that she was killed by Yael, Eshet HaKeini, So it says there, Vatiyabev, Teyabev Emsisa. She cries over her son. And that turns out to be the source, and the only source, from which we actually know when the Torah says that Rosh Hashanah is a day of blowing, Yom Teruah, what that blowing actually consists of. From all angles, Rosh Hashanah seems to be revolving around this point of a mother that's crying over her son. Yes, sir.
The Gemara also says that the Shimon Esther of Rosh Hashanah is based on Cheras Kama, which is not the other day.
That's another. That's another expression of it. That's another expression of it. Which is the other day of the right Haftar. That's the whole. The Gemara in the Sechon Rosh Hashanah talks about that Rosh Hashanah was the day that. All the significant kidot of mothers that they're going to be conceived with sons, Chana with Shmuel, and the Sarah with the son, was all on the day of Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean? So, to understand it, I'd like to quote the Gemara Masechet Tanit that talks about, in fact, Tu Be'av. The Gemara goes like this, and says the following. I understand Yom Kippurim, that the Mishnah said that it's not no greater day than Yom Kippur, that there should be such a day of happiness, because, says the Gemara, it's a day of Slichah Mechila, Kadosh Baruch Hu forgives Klal Yisrael. But what about Tu B'Av? The Gemara's not sure what it is. And then the Gemara goes and gives a list of like five or six different things that actually happen in different stages of history on Tu B'Av. Shevet Binyamin was permitted again to come into Klal Yisrael. The people who were killed in Beitar were allowed to be were buried on Tu B'Av. There's a whole many different manifestations to the significance of this date. The people who died in the desert for 40 years, they stopped dying in Tu B'Av. Goes on the Gemara and completes the discussion with something that sounds very bizarre. And that is, listen carefully, it's the following. Says the Gemara, that the one last thing which used to take place, not once in history, annually, in the days of Beit HaMikdash, on Tu B'Av, was that they would stop chopping wood for the Mizbeach, because the wood would not be as dry anymore, because Tash Kocha Shel Chama, from Tu B'Av onwards, the sun is not as hot, the wood is not as dry, it's prone to worms, such wood is not kosher for the Mizbeach, and they would stop chopping the wood, says the Gemara, and that's the strange part now, Mikan Ve'elach, from here onwards, says Rashi, being that the sun, we're past the peak of the summer, the nights are starting to get longer as we're starting to progress from Tu B'Av towards the fall and the winter. Mikan va'elach demosif yosif v'delo mosif yasif, which means, I'm translating, from here onwards, he who adds more will have life added to him. And he who does not add more, I'll explain in a second what that means, will die. Demosif yosif, he who adds, explains Rashi, onto his nights to learn more Torah because their nights are getting longer. As we're moving towards the fall, he will have more life added to him. V'delo mosif, and he who does not take advantage of this time, will ye'asif, like ye'asif elamav, he will die. Says the Gemara, what type of death will he die? What is the death of asifa? What type of death, says the Gemara? And that's the end of the sugya there. He will die, and his mother is going to bury him. End of sugya. Very, 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 very strange. What does it mean? He doesn't take advantage of this progression over here. And therefore his mother from Tu B'Av. And therefore he will, if he did not take advantage of it, his mother will end up burying him. Just one second. The shot, I think, is as such. And this is good. The two most significant, most intense, most focal relationship that a person goes through in a life is the relationship with his parents, specifically in a deeper, more internal way with his mother. And the second one is when the right time comes with his wife. What's the essential, the most essential difference between the two relationships? Which makes them categorically completely different of each other. Yes, sir.
The relationship with your mother is purely reception. Only you get from your mother, like in the womb.
Okay.
You don't give anything back. So I guess marriage relationship is
okay. That's on one level. Okay. It's a relationship which is a two-way relationship, as opposed to a relationship which is more, much more oriented towards a recipient from a giver. More. True, this will be an expression of it, but more. Yes, sorry. What? What do you mean?
Meaning when you're also throwing one.
Much more basic, much more basic. In terms of the motivation, in terms of the choice involved, you don't choose your mother. You choose your wife. And that's all the difference in the world. We have two relationships, the most intense focal relationships in a person's life, that we know from the sources in our parsha. One takes the place of the other. Rashi says it. I quoted it yesterday. The nohag shebeolam, it's the way of the world. As long as the person is with his mother, karucha chare, he's bound to her. And when he gets married to his wife, then libo karucha chare ishto. Then he redirects the same part in his nefesh, but now towards his wife. The difference, though, is one, that's what a given in his life, which what Yaakov said before is an expression of all this. And one is a choice that you have to make. You choose the relationship. And it has to be your and hers choice. You cannot be mekadesh a woman b'al korcha. You definitely cannot be a husband. A man has to make his choice in terms of a shidduch. A relationship of a shidduch is based on choice. It puts the responsibility of the relationship on your shoulders. As opposed to the one-way relationship, which is much more of a recipient relationship, is not something that you made any choice in the matter. He who does not take advantage of this progression over here is not getting ready for the underlying theme of this date. Rosh Hashanah is the day of
judgment,
of din. Din means that I'm focusing from this point onwards on you as an individual, on you in terms of your choices, and whatever you're going to be getting is dependent and contingent upon your own choices. Whatever you deserve, you get. Whatever you do not deserve, you do not get. It puts the whole focus on you. The transition from this time in the year to this time in the year, going through the Midah of Din, is a transition annually of two types of relationship with Rosh Baruch Hu, manifesting itself with Klal Yisrael and with every individual. A relationship which is more a parental relationship, a one-way relationship, like a parent, like a mother to a child, and switching through the Midah of Din to a relationship which is now two ways. It puts the responsibility on you. And whatever will be accomplished is by the two of us, and now you're no longer like a kid who's receiving from a mother, you're an active member in a companionship, in a partnership of a relationship, that whatever will be accomplished is from the two of us together, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to every member and to Klal Yisrael as a whole. This is a joint effort to bring the world to Tikkun. And that draws from an earlier stage in the relationship, and this is we go through every single year, of more recipient in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the two coexist. And yet this transition puts things into a time in the year where the focus is now on you, and you're supposed to get ready to a switch in the relationship from a more dependent relationship to an active role coming through the Midah of Din. He who does not take advantage of that transition and does not connect to that and does not put himself into that independent, taking responsibility mode of Midat HaDin, his mother will bury him, meaning he will never get into a stage in life where his accomplishments are his own. Rather, he's stuck in a spoon-fed relationship, whether it's with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, waiting passively for God to take care of his life, manifesting itself, and usually that personality is going to be expressing itself in all ways, manifesting itself in the relationship as well, between him and his parents, and not being able to leave the nest and get married, unless he really works and develops himself. The Midah of Din. Who is the embodiment of the Midah of Din? The Midah of Gevurah. Yitzchak. And it's on Rosh Hashanah that we actually read about the coming through of the Akedah, which gives birth, as we saw already, to his Midah. And it's because he personifies and he embodies this midah of din that when he gets married, it's going to have to be the acting out of exactly this transition. And he's going to have to go through the detachment from the dependency-oriented relationship with his mother to reconnecting to a woman, but out of choice and out of going through a din orientation to one's attitude towards one's relationships. Now, one further emphasis of how significant the issues over here are. Historically, we know what happens in Rosh Hashanah on that day of Din is the birthday of Adam. That's when Adam was created. And all that we spoke about in the last 10-15 minutes is the story of the creation of Adam, of every single Adam, whose soul, as we all know Kubbalim talk about, up above in the world of Olam HaEmet, has direct contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sees the truth, and then it's put down here into the world of Olam HaZeh, where it's supposed to reconnect to the same truth that it was exposed to, but now out of its own choices. And that can only work in a world in which God will hide. As the Mekubalim point out, Olam, our dimension of Olam HaZeh that we exist in, Roshon Ne'elam, the Kadosh Baruch Hu hides in. The whole habitat of Olam HaZeh is a dimension in which you can read into it whatever you choose, as we all know. And if you are going to be finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's only after putting in all the effort in the world to finding him. אם תחפשנה ככסף, אם תדרשנה ככסף, וכמטמונים תדרשנה, אז תבין יראת אלוקים, ודעת אלוקים תרמצא. I didn't quote it exactly. Pasuk that the Mishnah Sharin also brings from Mishlei, the beginning of his famous book. Yirat Shamayim, Yirat Elokim, comes only as a result of digging for it and looking for it with one's whole entire being throughout his lifetime. But when a person in Olam HaZeh at last found HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he came to the connection to the truth and to his God, the same that he had up above, all the difference in the world. Now it's out of his own choice, by the mere fact that he had the choice to walk in the opposite direction. So when he connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a choice that he made. And that's the ultimate relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in. Otherwise, there will be no point in bringing your soul down into Olam HaZeh. The point is for you to reconnect to me because you chose it. And only those of you who will go through that effort of choosing and finding me will actually have a relationship with me. No longer a one-way relationship, like that of a spouse and that of a parent and a child, rather that of similar to a husband and a wife. Relationships that you create through one's your choice and through your decisions, taking responsibility for the relationship. That's the story of a person's lifetime. From Olam HaEmet, coming into this world, which in fact Chazal called Alma de Shikra, the world of Sheker, which means you can easily interpret Sheker into it. And if you're going to find the Emet, it's because you looked for it and you found it. And when you come back to Olam HaEmet after 120, you reconnect to your source, but because you looked for it and you bound yourself to it out of your own will and out of your own choice. That most significant transition in that process is the moment in which a person actually finds his shidduch, his marriage in Olam HaZeh. Because then he is going through the most significant transition from, in fact, a relationship to the world where he is bound, where he is dependent, where he is a recipient, starting to make relationships with the world which are his own, which are his own choice, putting all responsibility on him. Okay? So these are some of the inyanim that lie here behind this parsha, where Yitzchak, Davka, and his shidduch have to bring out and activate Al Ken Ya'azov Isha Taviv Etimo V'Davak V'Ishto. And until the end of Shir, whatever time we have left, I would like to finish off, 1 second, Ari, and wrap up the parsha with the closing two paragraphs. Please open up. And Perek Pei, Pasuk Aleph, two short paragraphs. We'll discuss them until the end of Shir. Parsha Chayesara, Perek Pei, Pasuk Aleph, to the end. Yes, sir.
Why entering this level, this stage of Tuvot to Yom Kippur, how are we at a level of dependency?
What was that?
How are we at a level of dependency going into Tuvot?
That if you were, those of you who would come to the 6 o'clock Shir, that's what I meant before, that to really see the full picture over here, you need the two Shirin together. just happened to work out so that it's actually in the same day.
Are you scared by that today?
Yeah, that's what I meant. It just happened to work.
Okay,
does anybody have a tissue to contribute? Yeah, just, does anybody have a tissue?
Nobody has a
tissue. Paper towel.
I have a question.
Okay. Please open up inside. Perek Hafei, Pasuk Aleph. Okay. What's the topic of discussion over here? Avram again is reconnecting to a woman. This is the closing paragraph in Chumash of Avram's life. In the very same paragraph, Avram is going to be described as passing away. We said already before, Parshat Chayisar is not just the Ptira of Sarah at the beginning of the Parsha, it's the Ptira of Avram Avinu at the end of the Parsha. It's the end of the first stage in the building blocks of Klal Yisrael. That first stage, we mean both Avram and Sarah, and that's overlapping with the continuity of Yitzchak, which is being planted in this Parsha by finding his Shidduch. But in any case, one last accomplishment that Avram Avinu is supposed to go through before he dies is going and taking a woman by the name of Keturah and giving birth to, I'm reading inside, V'teledol zimran v'et yakshan v'et medan v'et midyan v'et yishbak v'et shuach v'yakshan yalad et shva v'et dedan uvnei dedan ayu ashurim ul'tushim ul'umim uvnei midyan eifa v'efer v'chanoch v'avida v'elda kol ele bnei Keturah. And on some level, these are also bnei Avram. Like, what's the point? This is the last of Avram Avinu's doing in the world. Why is he taking this woman Keturah, and why is he giving birth to them? Or anyways, I'm reading on. Ve'yiten Avraham et kol asher lo Yitzchak, as to be expected, because the Torah Kadosh Baruch Hu already told Avram Avinu, you have a hard time with the fact that Yishmael was sent out of your household, don't worry, he will turn into a tremendous nation. But ve'et briti akim et Yitzchak, your continuity will be through Yitzchak. And in fact, Avram acts upon it. He gives all that he has over to Yitzchak. I'm reading on. Please look inside. To the sons of the concubines, which is making reference to this list of names over here. He gave them gifts. He sent them away from Yitzchak. He sent them out to the east. And that's it. And then we say, ואלה ימי שני חיי אברהם אשר חי, מעט שנה ושבעים שנה וחמש שנים, ויגבה וימות אברהם לשיבה טובה, זקן ושבע ליאסף על עמיו, and יצחק ינשמע בריא. And מערת המכפלה, which we found for the first time, Avraham Avinu buying it, acquiring it at the beginning of the parsha. What's the point of Avram marrying Keturah, having relations, giving birth to all these descendants, which anyways Avraham Avinu is sending out all the way out to the east? Nothing. For what?
Oh.
Ken.
Maybe after Sarah died, he was feeling he wasn't complete anymore. And therefore he had he still had more waste, as I say, the psolet.
I don't think you have to come to what you're saying, and because he clearly had psolet also before Sarah died, so one doesn't have to come to what you're saying. Yes, Sam.
Felt that he lost that husband-wife relationship between him and God, so he wanted to continue on the
Magnian.
think about that. I would say yes, unless we know that the relationship that he has with Keturah is not the most meaningful one, because in fact we know that Keturah is not just a new person. Keturah actually is Hagar, which we were extremely surprised. Right, it's true. Rashi brings down in the name of Chazal that she switches her name now to Keturah. The Torah switches her name to Keturah because now her deeds beautified, and now it's more beautiful, like, similar to the Ketoret, which means that we can't anymore relate to her just as Hagar, as the way she used to be. The same person, but this person went through some kind of a transition, transformation, and therefore Avraham Avinu reconnects to her, maybe in a higher place, but still, like, he should complete his life in a relationship with somebody which used to be the Shifta. I mean, Yechaliot. I'm not negating what Sam said. It's something to consider. The Medrash does say, not in terms so much in terms of relationship with a spouse as much as the need to produce children, the Sefer Kohelet that says, "Baboker zra et zarecha ve'la'ered al tanach yadecha." You should plant your seeds in the morning, and even in the evening, you should not let go of it. You should continue your work. Says the, I think it's a Gemara that says that that even though a person gave birth to children when he was young, he should not stop producing and bringing more children to the world, if of course he can, when he's an old man. Who is that? That is Avraham Avinu. And that's based on the psukim over here, that he gave birth to children when he was younger, and at the very end of his life, he gave birth to children again. That doesn't explain yet anything. Yes, sir.
Is he spreading the same monotheistic concept towards the other places in the world? He's sending them with gifts. Yeah, I heard that these are all the Eastern religions that started afterwards.
So let's develop a little what Ari is talking about. And that, to remember that, let's remember the bigger picture that we've been seeing developed underlying Sefer Bereshit, and that was, we saw that over the course of 20 generations, till we get from Adam Arishon until Avraham Avinu, we're going through a 20-generation selection process, stage after stage, until we actually find Avraham Avinu, which was that pearl, as the Chazal put it in the Medrash, the pearl that was lost in the sand, and we had to sieve through the sand over and over by selective breeding until we actually got to Avraham Avinu. 20 generations from Adam Arishon. The family tree of mankind just expands and expands, and we select at last Avraham Avinu, and the pearl was found. But we saw that it's a little more complex than that. Avraham also has to go through departing from somebody in his family, Lot, for the reasons which we saw, the need to plant the seeds of David HaMelech later on in history. But there's further, deeper selections in the process, deeper bilulim that have to take place. Avraham Avinu within himself needs to select out, remove out of himself potentials that we're not interested in, and as we are in the process of building the 71st nation. And that comes out in the form of Yishmael, by him connecting with Hagar HaMitzrit. We spoke about this already in great length. The elements of Mitzrayim manifesting, re-manifesting themselves in the monotheistic expression of what's going to turn into one of the great monotheistic religions, Yishmael, later on in history. We spoke about it. I don't want to go back into it. And then Avraham Avinu is going to be continuing on by sending off Yishmael, and Yitzhak is going to be continuing to be the next stage in the next building block and putting together Klal Yisrael. And yet, just before Avram dies, Avram Avinu now with Keturah, Chazal say the same woman, but in a different place, and he gives birth to all these descendants, and he sends them all the way out east. Now, bearing in mind, Sefer Bereshit, defined as the Ramban, as a prototype book, Ma'aseh Avot Siman Ledanim, which means expect always to find any element, any detail in Sefer Bereshit to manifest itself later on in history, throughout the ages. So, Ari made reference to it. There's a very interesting Zohar that says as such. Once one of the Amoraim, I think it was Rav Kahana, but I'm not sure, traveled out east in the Gemara days. And when he went out east and he met some Jews. And those Jews in the east showed him some texts, some books, words of wisdom of the wise people of the East. And they wanted his opinion. What do you say about this? So the Amora, I think it was Rav Kahana, answered and said, after going through it, there's a lot of very similar elements over here to the depth
of Torah thought as well, but it's mingled together with Avodah Zarah. Keep away from that. What's possible is that Eastern religions, Eastern mystical philosophical systems, which we're familiar with, might have, and there are different indications for that, which we're not going to go into right now because of lack of time, might have developed on the basis of descendants of Avraham Avinu, which received these presents, which the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin says these presents are not physical gifts, they are spiritual gifts. Shemot HaTum'ah, capacities to manipulate and have access to the spiritual realm of the world, to the metaphysical realm, through names, different Shemot, but channeling them in a Tumadic way towards Avodah Zarah. Interestingly enough, a lot of Jews today, unfortunately, were exposed to and are attracted to mystical Eastern systems. And if they were to ask a Rav who really knows this stuff, what do you say about it? He would say exactly the same thing as Rav Kahana did to those people. There's a lot of interesting parallels over here in the thoughts, but it's deeply mingled with Avodah Zarah today as well. So we still find pagan elements in the world, non-monotheistic, pagan elements that's out there in the East. And therefore, keep away from it, he will say. In any case, it might very well be that besides Ishmael, the Eastern religions might have come out of Avraham Avinu as well, but their historical role was in a different place on the planet completely. And they had no historical job of mingling or having any relationship with the descendants of Yitzchak. So while Ishmael is not sent away, he stays in close proximity to where Yitzchak is going to be developing into the 71st nation. Bnei Keturah are sent all the way out east. They're not going to have any contact throughout history with Klal Yisrael. And their role in history is different, and not through the Birurim of history directly, the clashes with Klal Yisrael. In any case, that leads into the actual death of Yishmael and the moving away of Yishmael from the stage of history and the development of the process of building up Klal Yisrael, which leads us into the next stage, and that is where Yitzchak is heading towards and his accomplishment, which we'll be starting to talk about tomorrow. Please read Parshat Toldot for tomorrow. A couple minutes late, so please.